Amen, amen, amen. Y'all, all you got to do is turn on the news. All you got to do is look at the news, and you can compare it with what the Bible talks about as our last days, and even sometimes the last hour. The last hour, and what we're seeing, and so sadly, this last week, another young person walked into a school and unloaded a gun and shot children, killed some kids, and the world that we live in is very dangerous. As a believer, there's a reason that you're a believer, and there's a reason that God just didn't take you out of the earth. There's a reason, and so I want to, in this series, begin to explain some of these things about true Christianity, because it will become clouded in the last days. It will become very convoluted, and knowing what real true Christianity is according to the scriptures, and so we want to just lay the right foundation. That's what we want to do, so we can build on this. Do y'all know, as a church, that I'm the pastor here, but I'm not the only one that's supposed to be ministering. My job is actually to train you for the work of the ministry. Many sit in the pews and just say, oh, that's pastor's job to preach and pastor's job. No, my job is to train you so that you do the work of the ministry. And so we've got to relay some foundations. I need some help, some people that will help me disciple people. I want to disciple, and that's what Jesus did. Jesus was here, and then he got some disciples that discipled some others. And that's how the church is built. So we're going to lay some right foundation and just make sure that you're on the right foundation of being a believer, because it's very easy to get off track in this. All right? Turn over in your Bible to 2 Timothy, or just look up here on the screen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. We're talking about true Christianity, and today we're going to talk about laying the foundation. We're going to lay the right foundation so that we can build the house of God rightly and build our lives rightly. Look what Paul writes to Timothy here. This is one of the pastoral epistles. Paul wrote epistles, and many of them are church epistles, like the book of Ephesians, the book of Colossians, the book of Philippians. But then he wrote pastoral epistles as well. And these are a couple of them. Timothy is one of them, where he's writing it to Timothy about leading the people. And so he's explained some things about the times that he was facing and the times that we're facing as well. Watch this. He says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. Can you say amen right there? They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred, not marriage, not sex, not the life of a baby, human life. Amen. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They'll hate what is good. They will betray their friends and be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They'll love pleasure rather than God. That's a very important statement there. Watch what he says here in verse 5. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Your King James Version says they will have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. I like this NLT. It says they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Then he says, stay away from them, those people like that. He says here, they'll act religious, but reject the power that makes them godly. Today I want to talk about that power, because what Paul is talking about here is taking Christ out of Christianity. Taking Christ, the Bible, John talks about it as Antichrist. He said there'll be many Antichrists, a spirit of Antichrist. And essentially what that means is taking Christ out of things. Taking Christ out of the picture. Look over in my next passage is, I want to just show you this one. No, let's do this next one first. Do 2 Timothy, then I'll go 2 Peter, and then we'll go to 2 Timothy, because the next chapter says something very interesting. But let's look at 2 Peter. Did y'all get my other new verse on 2 Timothy? Yeah. Okay, praise the Lord. I can't hear him back there. But look over in 2 Peter chapter 2, and I'm going to read verse 1 through 3 here. Again in the NLT. Y'all with me? Make some noise if you are following me. All right. But there were also false prophets in Israel. Okay, so he's talking about in that time. Just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny who? The Master. That's Jesus. Taking Jesus out of the gospel. They will deny the Master. Some translations say Jesus. I'm reading from NLT here. Take Jesus who bought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. When you take Jesus out of the gospel, you bring on destruction. But watch this. Here's the sad part. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. This is why the church has become so immoral, because Jesus is taken out of the gospel. Just like you hear the world, you hear it. I watched on the news. They said that there's some petition or some kind of law they're trying to take Christ out of Christmas. Are you with me? And that's the spirit of Antichrist, right? Many will follow evil teaching and shameful immorality. And because of these teachings, watch this, the way of truth will be slandered. And what some translations say in this, about that part of the verse, if you could keep it up there for me just for a second, that the gospel will be convoluted, it'll be distorted because Christ is being taken out of it. And so what he's saying here, people will look down on the truth because it just becomes an idol religion. When we'll look down on the gospel because the truth has been taken out of it. Who is the truth in the gospel? Jesus is. Amen? All right, listen. Now, if you would, go to the next verse. In their greed, watch, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money. Y'all, we've seen this. We've seen this where money becomes more important than Jesus. And this is one of the problems that I have with the prosperity message. You can't just preach, and I've made the error myself as well. When you preach just about prosperity and money come to me, the gospel becomes about money and not about Jesus. And anything can get really out of balance if Jesus isn't the center of it. And that's what he's talking about here in the last days, that the gospel has got to be about Christ. Yes, God wants you prospering. God wants you healed. But when we take Jesus out of the healing, it becomes a circus. Come on, somebody. When we take Jesus out of prosperity, it becomes, again, what the Bible's talking about here, people just going after money. And that's a very dangerous thing. He says, in their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money, but God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed. Now, go back over to Timothy. Timothy, we were just reading 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 here. I'll read verses 1 through 5 in the New Living Translation again. Paul writing here to Timothy, says, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. So the Bible lets us know here up front. He said, there's going to be a judgment day coming. And one of the dangers I see in this, in Christianity today, is just this focus on the here and now. And we're not here just for here and now. Our life really is a test for when Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom here on earth. Are you with me? And so we have to begin to get this longer range perspective. It is not just about getting big cars and big houses and just living for the here and now. You are here temporarily, and I don't know if you've lived long enough to see it yet, but life is very short. Life is very, 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 very short. Your 70, 80, 90, 120 years that you live in the scope of eternity is what the Bible calls a vapor, a mist. There's more to life than just that. There's more to raising children than just seeing them grow up and be successful. They need to have an eternal perspective. And we as believers cannot lose our eternal perspective. Are y'all listening to me? Watch what he says because of that. Because of that there is going to be a judgment day coming. He says, preach the word of God, Timothy. You got to preach the word. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good what? Teaching, yes. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will teach them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the what? The truth and chase after myths. He's talking about the church. Are y'all listening to me? But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. And what he's talking about here in this generation, if you preach the truth, you will be slandered, you will be hated, you will be lied on. The devil hates us telling the truth about, well, watch. Now, people have left this church because they said, I'm political. This is biblical. When we just kill babies in the womb, crush your head. If I were to put a video up here about what happens in abortion, and people, saints get mad at that. If we did what they do to babies, typically about 70 a week, right next door. Now, y'all saw on the news this week, on the news, like on Wednesday or Tuesday or Wednesday, a boy went in and shot five kids, killed himself. Two of them died, I think, and then himself. National news on the headline of every newspaper, every local news. I mean, I heard it's still, they're still talking about it today. Five kids, 70 right over there this week. Every week. And this is a small town. New York City, now you see why I'm talking about this, and people are getting uncomfortable already. But there's more African American babies in New York aborted than there are born. More killed than are born. And then somebody says, oh, you're being political. What? That's Bible. Are y'all listening? But y'all hear how quiet it is in this Presbyterian church? Because we're more discipled. The church is, unfortunately, more discipled by the world and the culture than the Word and Christ. And the Bible warns of the danger of that in these days, because it's going to get tight. It's going to get rough. It's going to get rougher in terms of being a Christian. We've got to raise our children in the Word, because they're going to receive pressure in the school system. They're going to receive pressure in the world, particularly when they go off to college, not to be a believer. Antichrist spirit. Pressure them and humiliate them and to get them to concede with the world's ways. And if we as parents, as we as believers, we can't stand on the Bible and do what's right and be the light of the world. And the whole purpose for being a believer is to glorify the Father through your life. That's what your ultimate purpose for being alive is. Oh, look. That's your purpose for being alive. The Bible says, let the whole earth give glory to God. The animals do it. There's only one part of creation that refuses to do that. Humanity, mankind. And unfortunately, many believers in their life gives more glory to the devil and his work than to God. Are y'all with me? And so we can't do that. Come on, how many of y'all want to be the real church? How many of y'all really want? Let me see. Come on, somebody. Yes. So I'm talking in the right place. Amen. So he says, but you should keep a clear mind, Timothy, in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news, and carefully carry out the ministry God has given you. So do you see why I have to tell these things? Because of the world, the time that we live in. Amen. So let's today lay our foundation. And I'm going to cover some basic stuff in this series, but many people don't understand who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is. They don't understand the work that God has given us all to do. Can you say amen? All right, let's start with the foundation. Number one, turn over in your Bible to Psalms chapter 11 and verse 3. Psalms chapter 11 and verse 3 says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations of marriage are destroyed, what can the righteous do? There's laws now that are being put forth to tear down the truth of marriage, to change what God has set in place about that. Are you with me? And if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that's what we've got to make sure, that the foundations are restored, that they're built, that we put a right foundation down so that in our life, so that we can build our life the way God intended it to be. Can you say amen right there? Turn over in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Y'all with me today? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul here in 1 Corinthians, I so much wanted to read the whole first chapter because the whole first chapter explains why he's saying these things. Look at verse 5 here. He says, I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm beginning at verse 5. I'm going to go all the way to 15. But he says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? So Paul is kind of fussing here because there were divisions among the church, and some were saying I'm of Paul, some were saying I'm of Apollos. And Paul said, look, I'm glad I ain't baptized any of you except these two. And then he said, no, we're making divisions unnecessarily. He says in chapter 1, he said, this whole thing is about Christ. We preach Christ and him crucified. This whole thing is about Christ. Stop making me your foundation. Stop putting it up pressure on me about what you're believing. He said, you got to believe in Jesus. And the whole first chapter, almost every verse mentions Jesus. It's amazing. So he says, I planted. He's explaining here. Don't look to me. Look to Jesus. Are y'all listening to me? Watch this. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. There should be increase when the proper foundation is laid properly. When the foundation is laid properly, God has put on the inside. Let's use a child. A child will naturally grow. It's in him to grow if he's nourished properly. I saw on the news there were some kids that were with these foster parents, and they were teenagers, but they only weighed like 40 pounds because they were being starved in the basement. Did y'all see that story? And so they got them out of there and put them in another home, and the boys were talking. It's three brothers. And one of them said, I gained 60 pounds in like a couple weeks. I said, I know what you're talking about, bro. I've done that before. But just getting the right nourishment, then they and grew. I mean, they showed the measurements of what they were before they were getting the proper nourishment and getting and how quickly they had grown just by getting proper nourishment. And they grew. I mean, like in weeks. Imagine if you stood there and watched, you could see them grow. It happened that rapidly. But with not getting the right nourishment, and that's what he's talking about right here. He says, let me just read it. He says, so then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. He's trying to get them to see, I just got to lay the right foundation. You got to build right on that, and you're going to grow. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. He says, now, I'm going to be rewarded by God for what I'm doing. Watch this. For we are God's fellow workers. Say, I'm God's fellow worker. All of us. Watch this. You are God's field and you are God's building. All of us are. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Look at this. And another builds on it. Mark this in your Bible. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Watch this. Determined on how, if you get the right foundation and then building on it properly will determine what happens to you when you stand before Jesus. Are y'all listening to me? Look at this. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Listen to what he's saying right here. The only foundation for a successful, victorious life, and we're talking about when you're standing before the Lord, the only foundation that's going to work is Jesus. Not finances, not exercise. The foundation that must be laid is Jesus. Are y'all seeing? He said, there is no other foundation than that. The foundation for a marriage, a proper marriage that will succeed, is Jesus. The Bible doesn't say husbands love your wives. It says husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. The Bible does not say wives submit to your husbands. It says wives submit to your husbands as to the Lord. The Bible doesn't say children obey your parents. It says children obey your parents in the Lord. The Lord is the foundation for business. The Lord is the foundation for marriage and family. The Lord is the foundation for how you make money. If you don't see the Lord in everything you do, the foundation is going to be improper. And the Bible tells us storms will come and tear it down. Are y'all listening to me in this place? Now watch this. Here he goes talking about the end times. Again, he's keeping this eternal perspective as he's talking about building this foundation. And not just for life here, but he's talking about where we're going. Watch this. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones. Gold, silver, and precious stones. Gold in the Bible always represents deity and righteousness. Silver always represents redemption. Precious stones, you'll see this all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. But do you remember the high priest's garments? I did a whole series. We've got some high priests. Bobby was the high priest for me before. Make some noise for Pastor Bob. So faithful. Love you, sir. What a blessing you are. Standing out there, scraping, and Bobby standing right next to me talking football. I'm just kidding. No, he's scraping too. Always here. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I love you, man. Watch this. On the high priest's garments, on his heart, were precious jewels that represented the people of God. There were 12 precious jewels, and there were stones on his shoulder. Are you with me? It represents the people of God. And so what he's talking about, now anyone builds on this foundation, righteousness and deity, seeing God the right way, right? Silver, right, redemption, that's salvation for people, and then the people of God. Say, it's not just about you. It isn't. And then he says these other things, three things. Wood, hay, and straw. Wood, hay, and straw. Remember, the Bible talks about us being trees. That's being talked about building a foundation on humanity, on human principles, on human, building your life, building your marriage, building your finances on the worldly human principles. And watch what he says. He says, each one's work will become clear, for the day, with a capital D, that's judgment day, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. So he's saying there's going to be this judgment day that's coming for the quick and the dead, for the born-again believers and for unbelievers. He said, but for believers, it's going to, watch, he explains it here. Your works will be tested by fire. Watch this. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work. Say works. Are you with me? He says, of what sort of work it is. Pastor Joe said it earlier today. He says, only what you do for Christ is what's going to last. And that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about what you do, did it have an eternal perspective? Now, we all know we got to raise our kids. We got to send them to school. We got to feed our family. We got to do all those kinds of things. But he's saying, make sure the foundation is right and that you're doing it for the right motives. Be careful how you build. Not what you build, how you build. The motive behind what you're doing. Come on, somebody. Are y'all learning today? Watch this. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. So did you build your family on God's principles? Did you raise your children on God's principles? Did you do the work that you were born to do based on God's principles? Were you concerned about righteousness there on the job, about redemption there on the job, about the people there on the job? You get it? He's saying this whole perspective, you're going to what you're doing in your work, raising your family, he says there's more to it than what you're facing. The work that you've done, you're going to stand before God about that. Come on, somebody. It's quiet in this. Y'all all right today? Y'all right over here? Y'all good? Wave at me if you're good over there. All right, okay, y'all good. All right, all right. Watch this. If anyone's work is burned, say work. We're not talking about you. We're talking about your work. Watch this. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Yet as through fire. So it is not a matter of heaven or hell at this judgment. It is a matter of reward versus you wasted a bunch of time here on the earth. All right? But you received Jesus as your Lord. But how many of you want to know? Don't you want to stand before God and say, listen, the things that I did in life had eternal value. I did it the way you planned me to do it. I did not just waste years of my life doing my thing. Come on, somebody. And this is the perspective that we've got to get with life. If anyone, okay, y'all got that? All right, all right, all right. Let's go in a little bit deeper. Y'all ready? Turn over in your Bible. What we've established already, that Jesus Christ is the true and only foundation of Christianity. And everything in our life must be built on him, who he is, what he's done, what he's going to do. Watch this. His principles, look at this one, and most importantly, a personal relationship with him. Today I'm going to lay the foundation of how important it is to understand who Jesus is. I won't get to all of it. I just want to show you today that we must lay this foundation. Next week we'll dig into who Jesus is, because what causes most believers most of the problem is not knowing who Jesus is as Lord. What that means. Jesus said it. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not done this, done that, done this, done this? And Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work wickedness. Wouldn't you hate on that day to be standing up before the Lord thinking you did something, and he says, I never knew you, but I called you Lord. There's more to it than that. Come on, somebody. And y'all have seen it just like I have. All of us have seen believers that started out strong and well. But then you see them after a while, toe up from the flow up, messed up, back to doing everything they were doing, and wonder, what in the world happened? How did you go from ushering to crack? To alcoholic? What happened? What happened in life? And I'm telling you, many of us have never laid the right foundation. And what's his name? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to make sure, because watch what the Bible's going to say about it. Ooh, I get excited every time I think about this. First of all, turn over in your Bible to Colossians. I'm reading a lot of the NLT today. Colossians chapter 2. Here's another chapter. I wanted to read all of chapter 1 and chapter 2 because I'm a teacher. And chapter 1, oh, it's just so awesome. All of Colossians is amazing. But watch this. Paul writing here to the church at Colossus or something like that. He says, I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. He said, I want you to know the price I'm paying for you to understand this. Watch what he says. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan. Look at this, God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. What? God's plan is Christ? Hold on, that doesn't sound like proper English. When you say a plan, you're usually talking about some doings. God's proper plan is Christ. Do y'all hear what he's saying right here? And the Bible reiterates this over and over. Many of us, like I'm teaching on Wednesdays, about knowing the will of God for your life, knowing what you're born to do, knowing the purpose and assignment that you're born to be, to know that. It is about knowing who Christ is. That birth, and you knowing who you are in Christ, will birth your doings, havings, and goings. But because many people never get that part right, they never get the being who they are right, therefore they never get the doings, goings, and havings right. They're always confused in life, always broke, always struggling in life. And it starts, Jesus said the whole plan, Paul wrote the whole plan. Back that verse up for me, look at this. It says, God, understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. God's plan is in Jesus. You get Jesus, you really get who he is, you're going to get God's plan for your life. Without that proper foundation, things get off kilter. Come on, somebody, say, lay the foundation, Pastor. Okay, I think I will. Go to the next verse. In him, in who? In Jesus lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him lies every single thing you need to know about what God has for you. In him. All right. Next, please. I am telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. Look at this. I love this. Next. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. When your faith in Christ is strong, you live right. Oh, I couldn't get no help on that right there. We get into junk in relationships. We get into a bunch of mess when our relationship with Christ isn't what it could be or should be. Somebody say amen right there. Y'all gonna make me stay right there. Come on, somebody. When we get problems, major problems. Now the Bible talks about storms that come in life. But let me just tell you, for the believer, a lot of your storms will be alleviated if you really knew Christ. You ain't gonna have the adultery and fornication problems if you really know Christ. Oh, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. That'll alleviate a lot of your drama right there. All right, let me get back up here. Y'all didn't like that. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice. Oh, and Christ is strong. Go to the next one for me. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. In the same way you received Jesus, you must continue to follow him. Does anybody in this place remember when they got born again? Was there anybody like me that was desperate for God? I mean, you needed him. It was a matter of life or death. Anybody said, God, if you don't do something for me, I am not going to make it. Anybody remember that? Amen. He said the same way you got him is the same way you've got to follow him. With a passion, with a hunger. Come on, somebody. Watch this. And you must continue to follow him. Next. Let your roots grow down into him, and yet let your lives be built on him. Mm-hmm. There's that foundation. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. Listen to what he says. If your foundation is right and it's rooted right in him. What do I mean by that? I mean, you know who he is. You know what he's done. You know what he's going to do, what this whole thing is all about. You know him personally. You know him. Know him. That's what salvation is. Salvation is knowing Jesus. It's knowing him personally. All right? And it's the same word used for sexual intercourse. Knowing him. Don't get weird and spooky. Come on. I know there's believers everywhere. Yeah, everywhere you go, there you can be some weird. It doesn't matter what I say. Somebody can be weird. All right? Okay, I might even go down that road. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. He gives us an acid test here. He says, here's how you know that your foundation is right and that your roots are growing in Jesus. You'll have a spirit of thankfulness. There will be this praise and worship attitude. The praise and worship team won't have to prod and push and use a cattle prod to get you to stand up and praise God. It will be a natural overflow out of you. It'll be a spirit of thankfulness. It'll be an attitude of gratitude. You can't help but have a praise on it. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Not occasionally. It is the acid test for the right foundation. When you're growing right in Christ, you want to praise God. Come on, somebody. That ought to tell you something. Come on, somebody. And I can tell you this. If you don't praise at church, it's just because you don't praise at home. It's not a part of your lifestyle. Oh, am I offending y'all? I'm just telling you, how many of y'all know that God has a great life in store for us? He really does. God wants you to be a billboard for heaven. God wants you to be a walking billboard of his goodness, of his grace, of his favor, of his healing, of his kindness. But if the foundation is not laid right, y'all have seen it in homes before. Doors won't close. Dang, what's going on with this door? The door typically isn't the problem. What's going on with these windows? Why are all these cracks happening in the wall? What you see is the result of a bad foundation. When you see people that are born again believers that are all tore up from the floor up, that their life is a mess, it's just like a soap opera, it's because they never laid the right foundation. We're going to lay the right foundation in this life and make your life something that can be built on. The Bible calls us lively stones. Stones. that we built. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation. And then off that cornerstone, we are to be building the house of God off of him. Lively stones. A foundation and house that won't be moved by the storms in life. Come on, somebody. But when our foundation of who Jesus is wrong, when it's faltered, everything else in life doesn't work right. Come on, somebody. Push the person next to you and say, he's talking to you, for real. I know he's talking to you now. He's talking to me early, but he's talking to you right now. Look at this. He's talking about if your life isn't built on Christ, right? He says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies. Oh, my God. Have y'all ever talked to smarty pants know-it-alls? And the Bible has a word for them. The fool says there is no God. The fool said there is no God. Don't even waste your time. I do not waste my time or brain space on people who don't believe in God. I will not waste my time with somebody who wants to debate me about stuff like that. I don't debate you about that. I ain't got time for that. Come on, somebody. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. He says, don't get deluded and deceived by philosophies of the world and not Christ. Your philosophy has to be built on what Christ has said. Your marriage is not going to last if it's not built on Christ's principles. Your business is not going to last and succeed unless it's built on Christ's principles. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a body, in a human body. All the fullness of God is in Christ. All right, Hebrews talks about this. We'll get all to that next week. So you also, look at this. So you also are complete through your union with Christ. You are complete through your union with Christ. Every single thing you need is wrapped up in your union with Christ. I need more money. I need more joy. I need more peace. I'm depressed, Pastor. I'm this. Every single thing, I'm too single. I'm too broke. I'm too whatever. I can't get a hold of my appetite. I can't get a hold. All these problems that people have simply says they don't understand clearly this relationship with Christ. Don't feel that as shade. Come on, somebody. This is what Paul is talking about. I've got to tell these truths. I've got to correct sometimes. I've got to help. But if we're missing things, it's because we've got to work out this relationship with Christ thing. Hit the person next to you and say, hey, he's talking to all of us now, for real. Just get used to him hitting me, hitting your shoulder, because that's what it is here. Everybody. So you also are complete through your union with Christ. Your union with Christ. I love that. Your union with him. You're one with him who is the head over every ruler and authority. You get what he's saying here? When we're looking for things that we need out here, he's saying, no, it's in here. You got to start in here. It's with your relationship with Christ, this union with him. Can you say amen there right there? All right, we're going to, I'm good on time. I'm good on time. Turn over in your Bible. I want to show you these two parables. These two parables, we looked at them in this last series, but we're going to break it down here. Jesus talked about in this parable of building your house, and he's talking about your life, and he says it must be built on the rock. And there's two versions of it in the Gospels. The first one's in Matthew 7, and the second one is in Luke chapter 6. Let's take a look. First of all, turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 7, and let's look at verse 24. What do you notice about verse 24 here? Therefore. Whenever you see the word therefore, you've got to look prior to that because it's there for a reason. Whenever you see therefore, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He's giving the answer to something in that verse. Here, therefore, he's telling this parable as a result of something that he said prior. So we can't start it here. We have to back up to verse 21 and see why the therefore is there. Back up to verse 21. Are y'all with me? Y'all understanding studying the Bible here a little bit? Okay, watch this. Where it starts out is right here. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who what? Does the will of my Father in heaven. What he's saying right here, because y'all know how we get born again is by saying, confessing with our mouth and believing in our heart that Jesus is Lord. Y'all know that, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, right? But he says, be careful here. Jesus says, not everyone who just says, Lord, Lord. He says, if you really mean Lord, Lord, it's going to be followed with some doings. If you really meant it from your heart, it's going to cause some result in your doings. Come on, somebody. This is where he starts. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Next. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Can you imagine that? Have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Jesus isn't saying this. They're saying that. How many of y'all know there's a lot of fakes in church? You can see fake on Christian TV too. Come on, somebody. If you're sending your money to get a little piece of cloth or some sand or some water, I've got some land that I need to sell you, or a bridge or a swamp. And I get it. People get desperate, but don't fall for that. These are some of these things that are going to be standing before the Lord talking about, well, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this? I never knew you. But like we said, we read it earlier, that many people run schemes over ignorant believers who don't have a right foundation. You can dupe them on a bunch of stuff. Say, not me, not me. Hit the person next to you and say, not you either. I'm going to watch you. I'm going to keep an eye on you. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. And there's that word new again. It's the word gnosko. And really what it means is to have intimacy. I never had intimacy. I never knew you. You get it? He says, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now look at the next verse. Therefore. You get the prerequisite here? He said, don't get it twisted here. Not everybody just sitting in church who said, Lord, Lord, is really saved. There will be some fruit in their life if they laid the right foundation. That's what he's going to get to. God, I'm preaching good today if I say so myself. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. You get what he's saying there? If they do them, he said, they really look to me as Lord. Y'all got the prerequisite. Raise your hand at me if y'all get what he's saying right here. We had to read that part because now this makes sense. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The person who hears this and actually does it, he says, oh, they got the right foundation. Y'all get it? Come on, this is an acid test. If I'm hearing this, I'm sitting in church, and it doesn't have, I'm still shacking up, I'm still doing some of the crazy old stuff that I used to do, my foundation is wrong. You don't want to get to the end of life and stand before Jesus talking about, hey, yo, Lord, you know, I gave in that offering, and you know what I'm saying, I did this and I did that. He's like, excuse me, I never knew you though. But I did this and I did this and I did, but I never knew you. But I did this and I did that. Listen, I never knew you. That's what's going to matter, knowing the Lord. Whew. Reminds then who built his house on the rock. And so, of course, that rock, he uses that to tell us this is a foundation that's not going to move. Next. Hit the next verse. There, back up again. Sorry. I would declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Oh, yeah, I wanted to show you. Thank y'all for putting that verse up there. Go to the next verse first. Did I hit verse 23 already? I read all that? I read the whole parable about building on the sand. No, it's supposed to go to verse 27. Go back up. I think I only read to verse 24. put the whole, yeah, I want to go 24, 25. Yeah. Okay, there we go. There we go. Back up to 24 one more time, just in case. Yeah, built his house on a rock. Now go to the next one, 25. Thank you. Yes. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. Why? For it was founded on the rock. There was a right foundation, and what's his name? Jesus. Now, watch what he says here. So storms are coming in life, some storms, and this person built their foundation right when the storms came, blew against that house. It would not fall. The next one. Thank you. Go to the next verse. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the what? Sand. Remember sand right there. Sand, all right? Who built his house. But and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell and great was its fall. Now, when Jesus is talking about I never knew you, let me show you this in the scriptures. Turn over to John chapter 17 and let's look at verse 1 through 3 real quickly. Jesus describes eternal life, salvation, true Christianity as knowing Jesus personally and intimately. Look here in John chapter 17. This is Jesus' high priestly prayer. John chapter 17. Y'all know anything. This is the end of the gospel of John here, where he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and praying. Watch what he says. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your son, that your son may glorify you. That is also your call and assignment in life. Your call and its primary call, and what you're going to stand before Jesus for, this is the most important part, is did your life glorify God? Did your relationships glorify God? Did what you do with your life glorify God? That's why you're alive. At your job, your life should glorify God. Not cussing everybody out, not stealing, not doing people wrong, not sleeping with the boss, unless the boss is your spouse. That woman right there sleeps with the boss. Come on, somebody. But we got the same house, the same address. Come on, somebody, the same last name. Hello. I just had to do that. That's old school right there. Hello. You know, grown people say hello. My mom says that all the time. She'll drop a bomb and they go, hello. All right, where was I? As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life. He says this, I've done what you brought me here to do, Father. And it's to give eternal life to those as many as you've given me. He says, and by the way, here's the definition of eternal life. That they may know you. Circle that in your Bible. What eternal life is, what being born again is, eternal life is not longevity of years. Jesus didn't describe it as longevity of years. Every single human being has eternity on the inside of him. A spirit. You're going to live eternally. Every human being is going to live eternally somewhere. Eternal life is not described in time. Eternal life is described in quality. Did you know him? That's what salvation is. Watch this. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. That word know, again, I've said it before, but that word know, in the Old Testament, when you see it, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, what Adam knew Eve and conceived. Adam, every time it talks, when you see that word in the Old Testament, it's connected with conception. What God is talking about is having this intimate oneness relationship with him where you now produce fruit. An intimate relationship with God will 100% of the time produce fruit. If it's not producing fruit, and what I mean is not just other born-again believers, it's producing peace, it's producing joy, it's producing prosperity, it's producing joy, it's producing the fruit of God, the fruit of the Spirit. Notice it's not called the works of the Spirit. It's called the fruit of the Spirit because it is the outgrowth of intimacy with him. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all those nine fruit of the Spirit are the result of an intimate relationship with him. I'm telling you, many believers have never experienced this. They've never experienced God leading them and guiding them and directing them and loving them and just really having an intimate personal relationship. That's what he's talking about. This intimate relationship that's closer than anyone else. The Bible says he's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. And Jesus said it like this. He says, if you love your mother and father more than me, you're not worthy of me. And what he's describing is, you don't know me like I want to know you. There's a real relationship that God wants to have with you. And I'm telling you, it's the difference between a prosperous, successful, blessed, living right believer and one who compromises their life. It's knowing him. That's no shade. I'm just telling you, there's a deeper relationship that God wants to have with you. Come on, give God a shout of praise. I'm glad. I'm glad of that. Amen. All right, y'all got that? Okay, now let's go over to this other one. It's the same parable, but let's look at it. By the way, y'all know that Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the rock. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. Y'all see it. And all drank the same spiritual drink, talking about the children of Israel, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. There's so much in that passage because the Bible says that rock followed them. Okay, we'll get to that on another day. Praise the Lord. Okay, turn over in your Bible. Here's our last passages. Turn to Luke chapter 6, and let's look at verse 46 through 49. Just these three or four verses here. And it's the same passage that we just read in Matthew. Remember, the scriptures never contradict. They support each other. And so there's four gospels, and each of them have a different take on the same. They're standing there hearing Jesus say the same thing. But you'll see here how Luke opens up his same passage. Those same passages about being built on the rock, building your life on the rock. Watch how Luke writes it. And he's a physician. He's a doctor. He says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You see what? Because he knew that Jesus was teaching them about calling him Lord, and not everybody's going to, who just calls me Lord. All he wrote about that was that right there. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Do not do the things I say. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he's like. He's like a man building a house, who dug deep and did what? Laid the foundation on the rock. Oh, so now we see Matthew doesn't even mention foundation. He says either you build on the rock or you build on the sand. He says here, Luke writes, you got to dig deep and lay this foundation. What he's talking about here, you got to dig deep. You got to make a commitment to this. Now, again, I just cussed at church. Get your fingers out your ears. Commitment is a word that believers don't think has anything to do with Christ or church. Somebody said out there working yesterday, they said, you really found out how big the church is when you ask for volunteers, don't you? I said, yep. And they meant it physically and the number of people that show up. Come on, somebody. Oh, hit your neighbor and smile. Say, just relax. It's almost over. Come on, y'all. Do y'all realize why we got to lay a right foundation? We're all going to stand before God. I'm going to stand before God for being accountable for what I teach you. I got to teach this thing right. I got to say these things even though they're not always comfortable in season and out, right, in good times and bad. Watch what he says here. Let's go on. He says, he dug deep. So he's talking how, in order, first of all, to build a house up, you got to dig down. Dig down and lay a foundation. We've got to make sure that we've got the right foundation and we've dug deep. This is a much more firm, so the house just didn't jump up and move. People think their problem is a different church, a different spouse. Come on, somebody. You think after four or five spouses, four or five churches, you figured out the problem goes wherever I go. I think Michael Jackson said it best, the man in the mirror. Come on, somebody. Like, there ain't no more good men out here. Maybe the men aren't the problem. Just maybe. I'm just saying. Y'all ain't like that. Because I've had brothers say that same thing too. And I'm just going, you got to be kidding me. Praise the Lord. 60 still trying to play games. Come on, man. You're too old for that. 50 and 60 still running game. Come on. Many people never figure the joys of life and settling down. And that's what he's talking about here. You got to dig deep. You won't get the real joy out of Christianity, out of marriage, till you settle down and dig deep. I remember, can I just tell y'all, good God, my time's running out. But I remember after I went through a divorce, I was afraid to get married again. I was afraid because that pain was so devastating. I mean, it just tore me up for so long. It messed me up. And I was sweating. And Shanae said, hey, look at here. You're not just going to date me, and you just can't date me and other people. She said, you're going to have to make a decision. It's going to be, she goes, look, and I don't care. You can do what you want to do, but you're either going to date me and make a decision if you're going to marry me or move on. And she called me Mr. Stokes. She said, Mr. Stokes, lose my number if you ain't going to make a decision on this. I was like, Mr. Stokes, I'm Lee. Come on, stop. Want to become business acquaintances. What happened? She's like, you're going to have to make a decision. I'm not playing games with you. And many of us have played games with God. And that's what he's saying. You got to lay a deep foundation. And many miss out on the true joys of Christianity, the true joys of family and marriage, the true joys that God really has for you in life because we haven't made these kind of commitments. And he says, you got to dig deep for this. Come on, I'm standing there. We got married in Negril, Jamaica. Sandals. Whoa, I love sandals. And we go back every 5 years to the place where we got married. It's so much fun. 25th year is coming up next year. 25 years. Me and her, right? And so when I'm standing there, it was hot. And I made the mistake of wearing a tuxedo. I forgot we was in Jamaica. So I can't really tell if the sweat was from my nervousness or the heat. But I was like, I was walking down with the dude down the aisle, I was like, sweat was jumping off of me. Y'all hear me? I mean, sweat, it was unbelievable. It just sweat profusely. I didn't even know what, I was so scared. I was so scared. But you know what? After I made the commitment and grew up some, realize that everything I could ever dream of in a woman is sitting right there. I've got it right now. The queen of my life. And everything I need in Christianity and everything I need in life is right in Christ. And he has the control of everything else in this life that I'll ever need. And with my intimate relationship, Jesus said, I don't call you servants. I call you friends. He said, you're my friend. Here's why. Because the master doesn't tell the servant everything. He says he tells all the intimate details to his very best friends. You're my friends. How many of y'all want Jesus to share with you some of the keys to your life, the keys to your relationship, the keys to raising your children, the keys to your success in your career? I'm telling you, it's in Jesus. We've got to lay the right foundation. Let me finish this because it's time to go get some chicken. Come on. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when, not if, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not even shake it. What details there? He dug so deep, his foundation was so firm, he knew Jesus so well, said, doesn't matter what storm comes, doesn't matter what happens financially, doesn't matter who says what, does what, whatever goes on, I'm still serving Jesus. And you'll learn this consistency in life. Whether your spouse ain't happy with you, whether your kids don't like you, you don't even care because Jesus and you got a thing going on. Come on, somebody. And that's what's going to make your life consistent. Didn't even shake it. Look, could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Look at the next one. But he who heard and did what? Nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth. Look at this. Without a foundation. The other one was built on sand, but he said this person built it on earth without a foundation. What is that? That's building your life on earthly principles, because the only foundation is Jesus. That's the only foundation. So they built their house without having Jesus as the foundation. They built their life, their career, right? Against which the stream beat vehemently. And look, immediately fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Close your Bible. Come on, do y'all learn today? How many of you want to get this foundation in Jesus and really know him? If you'll come back next week. Now watch, here's that commitment. Here's that consistency. Here's that, and I understand people who have to work, but there's people who just, I don't feel like it today. If you're married, there's going to be some days you don't feel like it. And especially with kids, come on somebody. You ever get up and you got a baby that's crying like, I'm off today. Baby diaper full, kids ain't eat. I took the day off, kids. Ain't no day off with kids. I'm blown away. I cook, I clean, I do all this stuff. Kids don't, they have no appreciation for what it takes to do. Are y'all listening to me? You don't get a debt. That's just what it is. You got to lay a deep foundation. Or come on, somebody, you'll jump in your car and drive off a cliff like, forget this. Come on, somebody. But if we're going to walk off this life with Christ, we've got to dig deep and dig a foundation. And what's his name? Stand up on your feet. We're getting ready to go.